Good to be with you guys again. First, who won the final? You won the first time. Okay, here you go. Candy. For those who weren't here yesterday, we have Canadian candy. So sometimes we give them out of surprise. Who won the second one? Sam? All right. No, it wasn't you? Okay. Did you?
No, but they cheated.
Hey, it was me.
It was a tie.
No. It was a tie? Alright. It was a week. Okay, so what should we do? Does Sam get a prize?
What did you get?
Okay, who won the last? How many rounds did you do, Sam?
Three.
Okay, who won the second one? For real?
Well, I actually didn't win.
Was it Fabian?
I won the last one.
You won the last one. Okay, there you go. And then what about the ones that we have? Let's just say no winner of that, right? No way. Okay, no winner. Okay, you guys will have plenty of opportunity to win more Canadian candy. Okay, some of you guys weren't here with us yesterday, okay? And so, if you weren't here with us yesterday, I just want to remind everybody about our deal. And our deal is, we know it's really hard for you to sit here for like the whole time. So what we do is we give you guys the opportunity to hang out with each other, just have some fun at the beginning. But the deal is when we're actually here and we're talking, I would love for you to get your attention. Okay? So that's the deal. I hope you guys would be willing to do that. I want to the first thing I want to do is I want to make a small correction. I want to make a correction, not something I said yesterday. Somebody came up to me afterwards and told me that I got something wrong. Remember how I was telling you guys about the high priest and how we weren't sure that they actually tied a rope around him and we weren't sure that they tied bells around him? It's true that we're not sure whether they tied a rope around him, but the high priest does indeed have bells on his clothes. So that's the correction. They're actually on the hem of his garments. Okay? So I just wanted to say that and just say I made a mistake there. So that's the question. What's the second thing I wanted to say? Okay, there's something I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to add just a tiny bit about what we talked about yesterday before we move on and we're done with that. Because yesterday, what we talked about, at the end of the day, the whole point of what we talked about yesterday is that Jesus wants a personal relationship. Okay? And that personal relationship with Jesus is something that will, if you accept it, will last the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, you get to know him more, you get to deepen your relationship with him, you get to experience him, and there's all these exciting things. But that relationship with Jesus and that relationship with God has a starting point. And we just want to make that very clear. And the starting point of the relationship with Jesus begins when you accept him as your Savior. Okay? And so, I just wanted to take an opportunity to make it clear to everybody how you do that. Okay? If you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, I just want to take an opportunity to make it crystal clear how you do that. Some of you guys aren't here with us yesterday. That's okay. I'm going to point us to a few Bible verses just so that it's clear to everybody how you go about that. So maybe the first one. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? Second one. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish from it. So this one. The first one, if we go back, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him. Next one, you believe in him, and you will have eternal life. And then we have one more verse that I want to point you guys to, which is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? So if we put all of these things together, if you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, it's not the thing that I want to make clear to you is it's not about how mature you are in your spiritual walk, right? It's not about how much you understand about the Bible. It's not like, oh, I got to know the Lord for like this long, or I got to understand Him this much before I can be saved. Being saved, like you said, is the first step of starting your walk with the Lord, right? Starting your relationship with the Lord. None of that is important. It's like when we say, we use that term born again, right? When you accept Jesus as your Savior, right? You're born again. A baby doesn't know how to ride a bicycle, right? So it's not about how much you know. It's not about how much you've prayed. It's not about any of that. It's just the idea that you've done what these verses have said. And so I put it in a summary slide. That's the next slide. This is what you, if you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, it's this, okay? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? What that means is He is God, but Jesus came down to earth as a human and lived with His God, Son of God. Two, do you know that you're a sinner? And that verse that we read was confess, right? Confess your sins to Him, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. So if you know you're a sinner, confess that to Him. Three, believe Jesus came down to earth, that He died for your sins, and He rose again. And then tell Him. Tell Him that in prayer. Just say, Lord, I believe these things. If in your heart you really do believe these things, you tell Him, Lord, I want a Savior. I need you as my Savior. Then you're saved. Because that first verse we read was, confess with your mouth. Why would you confess something with your mouth? Unless you're lying, but that's not what we're talking about here. It's saying you're confessing something that you believe in your heart. It's coming out of your heart because you believe it. So you're confessing it as, I believe this, right, as you confess with your mouth. And so these are the four steps. We'll go back to that slide, right? Thanks. If you know these things, you believe them in your heart, and in the truest part of your heart, you believe, and you say to the Lord, I want Jesus as my Savior. And you say, pray that way. Confess with your mouth. Yesterday, we asked you guys, for those who were here, if anybody was unsure about whether or not we're saved, whether you wanted to be saved, that you raised your hand. And I know that we missed some people on that. That wasn't intentional. I'm sorry about that. But if we missed you and you still want to talk to somebody, like in a corner of the room, come talk to us afterwards and we'll try and find you. I know we missed some people. But if that's your situation, you're saying, I want to accept Jesus, can you guide me through how to do that? Absolutely. Come talk to me more than willing to do that. Okay? More than willing. Be so happy to. Okay. So that's all I wanted to say quickly about yesterday. Because this shouldn't be complicated. It shouldn't be confusing. It's just something that we know to be the truth. And so don't live in that gray zone of like, I'm not sure if I'm saved. If any of you are like not sure if you're saved and you want to be sure about being saved, and you weren't here yesterday and you didn't hear what I said yesterday, and you're like, wait, what are you talking about? You're like zooming through a bunch of stuff. Yeah. If you want to know that, come talk to us afterwards. We can help you, hopefully fill you guys. Okay? Alright. How are we doing? Okay. We're gonna move on then to what we want to talk about today. Okay? So last night, what we talked about, really, like I said at the end of the day, last night what we talked about is Jesus wants to have a personal, real, intimate relationship with you. God wants to have a real relationship with you. And we talked about how He made a way for that to happen. Except Jesus, you have a relationship with Him. Right? It's awesome. Today, what we want to talk about is we want to talk about what that relationship with Jesus can look like. Okay? What that relationship with Jesus is like. Okay? And the way that we're going to do it is we're going to read a psalm. So, Elliot, can you help us flip there? We're going to read Psalm 23. And the way I'm going to do it is because I don't want to run out of voice to ask you guys to help. Okay? So, Ivan, are you willing to do verse 1 for us?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yes.
He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and your staff that comfort me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
Oh, I made a typo. That's not part of this verse, actually. That last line, sorry, that's not that's supposed to be there. We'll cross that completely. Sorry. It ends with, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Next. Sorry.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have appointed my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord.
That's what it is. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That was fast. Okay. We'll read one more verse. It's in John chapter 10. And where did we stop?
Jesus said to them,
"I am
the good shepherd."
I am the good shepherd. Okay. Can we pray together?
Okay.
God, we're just thankful that you gather us. And we pray very much tonight that you would open up our eyes to see something of the truth that you desire to be our shepherd, that you love us, and you want to hold us through our entire lives. And so come meet us, show us what this all means, help us to see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
How many of you guys know Psalm 23? Let me ask you guys this. How many of you guys have read Psalm 23 before? Can you guys give me a show of hands? And we're stretching here. We're doing the big, okay, all right? So some of you guys have read that Psalm. How many of you guys have memorized Psalm 23? Literally sound like, okay, maybe a little bit. Okay, sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot. Okay, that's really cool. I remember when, some of you guys are in 6th grade. I remember when I was in 6th grade, I think. Maybe it was 7th grade, but I think it was 6th grade. When I went to Bible study at my church, at the place that I gathered in Vancouver, the person who was like the counselor for the high schoolers or whatever that group was, he made us memorize Psalm 23. So it was like, he did like the first week, he did the first verse, the second week, he did the second verse, and then he would test us every week, right? He'd be like, okay, well, testing us. And so, by the time we got to the whole thing, we made a whole thing, and he would test us every week about Psalm 23. So Psalm 23 is something that's like deeply ingrained into my, it's probably the part of the Bible that I have memorized like the deepest, maybe. I don't know. But it's really in there, right? And if you guys don't have Psalm 23 memorized, it's a really cool part of scripture to have memorized. I encourage you guys to try to memorize it, okay? It's a really helpful thing. But we're going to talk about Psalm 23 today, or at least parts of it, and we're going to talk about the truth that Jesus, like it says here, is our shepherd. But when we talk about Psalm 23, we talk about the Lord being our shepherd, we have a little bit of a challenge, and the challenge is probably this. How many of you guys have met a shepherd? Like a real life shepherd? How many? Sam, really? What was that like? What was that?
Your dad was a farmer.
Your dad was a farmer? Is that true, Sam?
He had
goats. Okay.
Yeah, actually.
That's really cool. I was not expecting that. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for us to kind of trade you out some about if anything I'm going to tell you guys today is going to be true.
I feel like Jenga out of
corn. Okay. But nobody else has met a real shepherd before, I'm presuming. Nobody else put up their hands. How many of you have even met, have ever gone to a petting zoo and, like, touched sheep? Okay, how many have done that? Have you ever watched his dad take care of sheep?
No.
Okay, then it doesn't count. If he wasn't being a shepherd at the time, it doesn't matter. Okay. So, the challenge that we have when we're talking about Jesus as our shepherd is, and that we are his sheep, is that we don't even really know what it means to be a shepherd or to take care of sheep. Right? Like, if you guys know something, that's awesome. But for the most part, we don't have any practical experience with that. We don't even know what it looks like. And so, what I found really helpful is this book. This book is written by a guy named Philip Keller. Okay, and Philip Keller was a real-life shepherd. So he lived, like, recently, like, he's passed now, but he lived, actually, he was taking care of sheep very close to where I live, up in Vancouver. Near Vancouver, and he wrote a book called The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23.
And the whole idea of this book is like, he was a real shepherd. He bought sheep. He took care of sheep. He raised them. And then as he learned how to be a shepherd, and he learned his sheep, and he learned how to take care of them, he started to reflect on what Psalm 23 is like. And he's like, wait a minute. I understand what it's talking about. Like, and because he is actually a shepherd, he's able to kind of open up this psalm and shine light on it for us and help us to understand it in ways that we might not know to if we don't actually know what it's like to take our sheep. One of the first things that Shepherd Philip tells us in that book, and one of the things that you guys just understand very quickly, is that actually sheep are really difficult animals to take care of. They are not animals that you can just kind of leave alone and just expect that if you leave them alone, they're going to prosper. Okay. So what he discovered, Shepherd Philip, is he discovered that when he decided that he was going to buy sheep, he knew he was in it for the long haul. He knew that if his sheep were going to be able to flourish, if they were going to be able to prosper, he would have to put his life into it. He would have to take care of them every day. Because they're not animals that just take care of themselves. And the incredible thing is, when Jesus told us that he is the good shepherd, what he's telling us too is he's saying, I want to be that for you. I'm committed to you. For the law, I want to be your shepherd. I want to take care of you. And I'm in it the entire way through. He's completely committed to us. And so, what we find, as much as Shepherd Philip loved his sheep in order to take care of them, what we find too is that our shepherd does it because he loves us. So, we're going to dive into a little bit of this psalm. We're going to dive actually just into one verse. Can we go to the next slide? We're going to dive a little bit into not even the full verse 2. We're just going to dive into that first part of verse 2. Verse 1, you guys, if you guys don't know, don't remember, it's just, the Lord is my shepherd. And then there's this part I do not remember. First one is, the Lord is my shepherd. And then what David wrote this psalm, what he's saying is, he makes me, as his sheep, lie down in green pastures. And that's the phrase that we're going to focus on today, and we're going to dig into what that means. Because when I said, I've memorized this psalm, and every time I think the most that I've ever really thought about this particular line, like, he makes me lie down in green pastures, is like, okay, well, that sounds like a really calming thing. Like, my Lord is going to bring me to where there is green pastures, and he's going to set me there and let me rest, right? And he takes care of me that way. And I kind of just gloss over it. But when you kind of actually dive into the book that Shepherd Philip wrote, he wrote a whole chapter on this part of the verse. And he started to break down how there's so much actually baked into this one part of the verse. There's so much to it. Because what he found is that actually, because sheep are such difficult animals, it's really difficult to get them to lie down. They, like, to get your sheep to lie down is not easy, because sheep will only lie down if they're at rest and they're at peace. Okay? If there's anything that's bothering them, they're not going to be able to lie down. Okay? And so, what we found is that Shepherd Philip, in his book, he kind of, after having taken care of so many sheep for so many years, he found some patterns of, like, different things that sheep needed in order to feel at rest and at peace, in order for them to actually lie down. Okay? He actually mentions 4 things in this book. We're going to talk about 3 of them. We have a slide for that. And the first thing he noticed about his sheep is, if his sheep were fearful of anything, they would not be at rest and peace, and they would not lie down. Second thing, if his sheep were, like, fighting or butting heads with another sheep, they're not going to be at rest, and they're not going to be able to lie down. Okay? And then the third, excuse me, The third
is that if the sheep were hungry, they wouldn't lie down either. And so we're going to dive into each and every single one of these and start talking about what that might mean. And really, what we want to dive into as we kind of think about this is, we're not here to talk about Shepherd Phillips and his sheep exactly, but as we kind of look into that, can we see something of our Lord Jesus and how he wants to take care of us, how he does take care of us. So the first thing we're going to talk about, this number one, so we'll go to the next slide. His sheep have to be free of fear. So, when sheep are just in the field and they're resting for the night, there's actually a lot of dangers out there. A lot of things that can actually harm sheep. Okay? If there was a dog set loose in the midst of a bunch of sheep, one or two dogs overnight can actually kill the whole herd. It's like crazy, right? Or if there were cougars, right? Or if there were bears, all of these animals can just wipe out your entire flock of sheep, right? That's what Shepherd Philip kind of discovered. And then the other thing that was a source of danger for these sheep as they're kind of just hanging out in their field is, Shepherd Philip, there was this one summer, I think he was saying, one summer where there were rumors going around, and it was like, there were rumors that there were people coming in and stealing people's sheep, right? So like, can you imagine just being a sheep in the field, and you're like, hanging out there, and you're just standing there overnight, and the only light that you see is like the starlight and the moonlight, and then when you look out, it's just like, mostly black, and you're like, okay, what's out there? Are there any thieves that are going to kidnap me?
No.
Are there going to be dogs? Are there going to be bears? Are there going to be cougars? It's like you're just chilling there, and you're like, okay, well, what's going on? And if you're in that situation, it's like that fear of that unknown, right? It's like you're not at rest. You're not at peace. And what our shepherd Philip was saying is like his sheep then weren't able to lie down and rest, right? So come to us.
What are some of your fears? What are some of your fears that keep you up at night? Do you have worries about what is coming from the unknown future that you're like, it's pitch black, I don't know what's coming for me, it's like causing me fear? Do you have fears of fitting in with your friends? Fears about your grades? Fears about your relationships? Like, what kind of fears do we have in our lives, right, that causes us not to be able to rest? When Shepherd Philip found out that there were potentially cougars and bears and dogs out there, you know what he did? He lived in his house, right, near where the sheep were resting, and then he started to sleep with a rifle. And he started to sleep with a flashlight. And what he would train, I guess what he learned to do is, like, if he heard any rustling in where his herd is, he'd immediately grab his rifle, grab his flashlight, and grab his dog, the shepherd dog. And they would run out, and he would protect his sheep, right? And then the other thing, when he started hearing that there was going to be maybe thieves that were stealing people's sheep, what he started to do is he started to actually sleep overnight in the field with his rifle. What ended up happening is that the thieves kind of heard that, okay, for this guy's flock, you probably don't want to mess with it because he's sleeping out there with his rifle. And so the thieves, like, decided that this was not a good idea to get his flock, and so they went elsewhere, I guess. But what Shepherd Philip was able to discover, what he figured out, is when he was sitting there with his sheep, then his sheep were at rest. And the same is true, and the same can be true for us, where if we know our shepherd's presence is near us, if we know Jesus' presence is near us, He can cast out fears. Because we know that our shepherd loves us and that he will do whatever he needs to protect us. If there's unknown fears out there, unknown dangers, the shepherd is not going to let it attack us. This is something that we can experience. And I remember, I'll just tell you a little like short story. Like, I remember experiencing that. Because there was one time I was doing something that I was a little bit nervous. Right? I was a little nervous. What I was doing was I was being a little sneaky. And the reason I was being a little bit sneaky is because I had an appointment to go see Melissa's parents, and I did not want Melissa to know that. At the time, we were, you know, like we were in a long-distance relationship. I was living in Vancouver, and she was living in Seattle. And we knew pretty decently where each other were. Did we share our like location with each other somewhere? I don't remember. But like, we would keep in touch with each other enough that it was like, it would be weird if I like disappeared off the grid for like 6 hours, right? Because it was like 2 hours to drive down to Seattle, 2 hours to drive home, and then like I had this appointment with Melissa's parents. The reason I had to be sneaky and the reason I had a appointment with Melissa's parents is I was going down there to ask Melissa's parents for their blessing to marry her. Okay? I was a little nervous on the drive down, right? I was like pretty sure I knew what they were gonna say. I thought they were gonna say that. But there was still that little bit of nervousness and that fear of the unknown about what's out there in the dark future that we can't predict. And on my drive down, the Lord met me to calm my heart when I had these fears. Right? He gave me a song. And the song goes like this. The lyrics are, I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind me. I know who stands behind me. The God of angel armies is always by us. So in that moment when I was fearful of what this was going to be like, I'm driving down, I'm nervous. He was saying, God was saying to me, Jesus saying to me, I'm going before you, and I got you back. I'm here with you as we go. Okay? It's going to be okay. And that presence of our Lord Jesus, the shepherd, can cast out fear. So whatever it is that you're fearful of, whatever it is you got in your heart, whatever you got going on, the Lord wants to sit with you. He wants to make his presence known to you, to calm you, let you know it's going to be all right out here with you. We're going to get there. We'll go to our next thing. So what Shepherd Philip figured out was like, sheep generally, like as a general thing, sheep are timid animals. Okay? They're timid animals, but even in the group, you're going to find some who are more timid and some who are more aggressive. Right? They have their own personalities just like people have their own personalities. And so what he would notice is that sometimes the aggressive sheep in the flock would like want to tell every other sheep, like, hey, I'm the man, all right? I'm the big dog or whatever, top dog or whatever, right? Top sheep, I'm the top sheep. And so how this like more aggressive sheep would let the other sheep know about this is like you have this more like timid sheep and he would just be kind of standing and doing his own thing. And this aggressive sheep would come up next to him and would kind of like ram into him and bug him a little bit and just kind of bug him. Just to let him know, hey, I'm the man. Right? And so what Shepherd Philip figured out is that like if there were any type of these conflicts that were in the midst of the sheep, like the sheep were not at rest and they couldn't be at peace and lie down and rest. Right? Like it just wasn't working. And so, for us, have we had these difficult conflicts with people that caused us to not be at rest? Have we ever been picked on? Have we been bullied? Have we been hurt by our friends? Sometimes it's the people that are closest, a lot of times actually, it's the people that are closest to us that have the biggest ability to hurt us. Right? Like your best friend could say something that really hurts you. Your sibling could say something that really hurts you. And when that happens, it's like you just feel in your chest, you're like, I feel terrible. This is the worst. And it's especially bad if you're like, it's like your best friend who did something to hurt you. Your best friend did something nasty to you. And it's like, okay, well, not only did you hurt me, I now have nobody to even talk to about it. Because you're my best friend. I'm supposed to go talk to you about it, and you hurt me. But in those moments, when we feel like there's nobody that we can turn to, the thing is, we can turn to our Lord. He's there with us. Like, He wants to comfort you. Even very recently, somebody who, this happened like last week or something, somebody who's supposed to be really close to me, really hurt me. They posted something on, I'm not going to tell all the details, but whatever ended up happening was they posted something on social media that was like meant to kind of like jab me. Like, it was a little bit, I don't know if it was meant to be that, but it felt that way, right? Like, it was like, I felt like I was being attacked or jabbed by this person on social media, posted something on public for everybody to see, like, poking at me. And I was hurt. And I was kind of affected by it for, like, a couple of days, or a few days. I was kind of, like, stewing and thinking about it, and I was like, this is completely, like, unfair. This is such a bad thing for somebody to do. Like, it's so not nice. It's so not caring. It's so, like, such a nasty thing. It's not fair, the situation I'm in. And I was just like, it was like these thoughts would, like, kind of keep coming in my head, and I was just not at rest. But what I did is I had to say, I was like, and I was telling him exactly how I was feeling. I was just telling him, Lord, I'm so hurt. I'm hurt on this. It's so difficult for me to kind of get over it. I'm hurt. And the Lord drew near to me. And He encouraged my heart, and He picked me up, and He gave me a song. Again, a song to lift my spirits. And this is our shepherd. Right? He understands the things that you're going through. He understands the hurts that you have. He understands what hurts your heart, because He knows your heart better than anybody else. He made it. And so when nobody else understands and you have nobody else to turn to, and you go into your quiet place in your room and you cry out to Him, the Lord can be there as your shepherd to comfort you. Right? And there's a verse about this, I think. Yeah, there is. Nice. It's in Psalm 24. It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Right? You can calm your heart that way. Let's go to the next one. The next one is, sheep are not going to be at rest, and they're not going to be at peace, and they're not going to lie down if they're hungry. Now, if you go, do we have, what's the next line? Is it verse 2? Oh, that's not supposed to say Romans 6:23, by the way. Okay, yeah, let's go here. Sure. Let's go here. Sheep are not going to be at rest if they're hungry. And so what he's saying here, what King David is saying here when he writes this, I think, in order for his sheep, for the shepherd to bring us to lie down somewhere in green pastures, he's also going to feed us. But the thing about this is, like, there's something, like, there's something that we very quickly gloss over in this verse. We just read it and we don't think twice about it. And that's the fact that there is green pastures. You got to remember, King David wrote this psalm, right? And where was King David in the world when he wrote this psalm? Does anybody have to know? It's not your question. Was that when he was high? Okay, maybe. I don't know that for sure, but that might be true. But I'm just thinking not in terms of his, like what time period it's like. I'm talking about like where in the world. Which part of the world? Israel. Okay. If you fly over to Israel on Google Earth, you guys can do this yourself. Try it. Fly over on Google Earth. Do you know what the main color you're going to see on the photo is?
Yeah,
brown. Yellowy brown. Okay? It's mostly yellowy brown. Now, there is not that much green pastures in Israel where King David was. You fly there, you're like, okay, there's a little bit. And then I was doing this where I was kind of like investigating. Right? I was like investigating, okay, let's look at these like green patches that I do see. You kind of zoom in on Google Earth and you're like, wait, this patch is green, but then the sides of this patch are like straight lines. So you're like, okay, this is not natural. Somebody farmed this to be green, right? And so most of the time, it's not all of it, but like a lot of it is brown, and then a lot of the parts that are green are like farmed, okay? And so we kind of gloss over that in this verse, and we're like, okay, well, the Lord leads us in green pastures and bring us somewhere to find. Actually, it's not that simple. Not in Israel. And so what Shepherd Philip had to do is this. Well, let me tell you something first. What he discovered is that if he's bringing his sheep to somewhere where there's no green grass, right? And there's just like a little bit of a patch of grass here and a little bit of a patch of grass there. And he brings all of his sheep there and his sheep get to like nibble on this small little patch and they're not full yet. And then they have to go over here and then nibble on this patch and they're not full yet and they got to go find another patch and nibble. But if that's how the sheep are feeding, they're not going to feel restful. They're not going to feel at peace. They're not going to be able to lie down and rest. And so what Shepherd Philip had to do is he had to plant his own field. He had to plant his own pasture. And so he spent weeks and months prepping this piece of land. Like he would remove all the vegetation that was already there that was weeds or dying or whatever. He had to like till the ground. He had to remove all the rocks. He had to plant the grass seed and he had to water it and fertilize it. And after all of that effort, what happens is he actually had a patch of pasture where the grass was healthy and green and up to his knees. And what he found is that when he brings his sheep to this pasture that he's prepared, like the sheep are like, wow, this is so nice. Right? And then they can eat and not be worried about having to go here and there to find food. They just go anywhere, eat, and then they're satisfied, and then they can lie down and they can rest. What's up? You got a question? Where's the water? I have no idea. I have no idea. Where he was in Canada. So at least there was a lot of water. Okay. So, what am I trying to say about this, right? What I'm trying to say is our Lord knows our needs. Our shepherd knows our needs. Right? And as the good shepherd, he wants to provide that for you. Right? If you have a need, he wants to be the one that is able to provide that for you. He wants to take care of it. Now, he's not going to... There's a difference between needs and wants, right? Like, I want a new computer to play for me. Like, okay. Like, there's a difference between needs and wants. But when you have needs, what we find is that our shepherd, he loves you. He wants to take care of you. He wants the best for you, and he's going to provide that for you. I'll tell you guys a story about how I kind of experienced that in a pretty powerful way in my life. Melissa and I we got married in 2020, September of 2020. And September of 2020, I don't know if you guys remember, was like first year of the pandemic. It was like everything was like shutting down. Like you could not like gather in large groups. Like, everything was shut down. I don't know if you guys, I think you guys remember, right? Like life was very different then. And so Melissa and I had originally planned a 250 person wedding, maybe even 300, depending on how we cut the list. Right, it was going to be a 200, but you couldn't gather that many people together, so you had to cross that plan off our books. And then she was, like you said, in Seattle, I was in Vancouver, and then the only place that we could get married, where her parents could be and my parents could be, because the border was closed, you couldn't drive across the U.S.-Canadian border, right? The only place that we could gather together to get married where both parents could be there was there was this park at the border that was like a little kind of like sort of no man's land. It's not really, but it was a park where people from both sides of the border would go and they could kind of gather and hang out in that park. And so we had to get married at that point. Yeah. Something about my personality, excuse me, is that I'm a planner. I like to have all my ducks in a row. I don't tend to like to just wing things. I like to be prepared, right? But there was no way to really prepare for that day exactly. Like, you couldn't have everything figured out because you're getting married at a park. There was no way to save the space, right? You couldn't reserve a part of the park. So we had this part of the park in mind, and we're like, well, we can't reserve it. We're like, I mean, we would like to get married at this part of the park. We could only have 30 people gather, because that was like the restriction at the time. We could only have 30 people together, and so we're like, okay, who are 30 people going to be? And it's like, the thing that we wanted to do, though, is like, because only 30 people could be there, what we wanted to do is we wanted to stream it to everybody so that everybody could watch live. But then you're at a park, right? So it's like, okay, well, how can we get this to the internet? Like, what else did we go through? We're at a park, so we're outside, right? So we're like, okay, like, what happens to the weather, right? We have like no idea what's going to happen. But what we experienced that day, when the Lord brought us to that day, is like, He provided everything that we needed. And He provided everything that we needed that we didn't even know we needed. Because like, we were praying for the weather, right? We were like, the people in our family and our friends and stuff were praying for the weather. They're like, okay, Lord, don't let it go. Please don't rain, right? Like, there can be no rain. But we didn't even think to pray that it wouldn't be too hot. Like, our minds were, like, set on, like, don't snow rain, right? Please. But then that day when we showed up, it was like the Lord had given us the perfect weather. There was no rain. It was not too hot. The sun was out, so when we took photos, it was beautiful. We found this guy to stream the wedding for us. And he was like, Meltdown heard him online. And he's like willing to do it. He's like, okay, I'll give it a shot, right? And he's like, how am I going to get an internet connection to put it online? Okay, I'll tether it off my phone. So it's like, but what we found out is like this guy's cell phone, his service provider had a cell phone tower right at the park. So his connection was like really solid, right? And it was like people on the stream were like, no hiccups, man. This was like, it was perfectly fine, like, the whole time. And, like, our friends were able to help us reserve. Like, every detail of that day, the Lord had looked after and the provider for us. Right? And it's like, Lord, you knew our needs better than we could have ever known ourselves. And we praise you because you are a good shepherd. You love us. Right? And so you start to see the heart of our shepherd is like this. He is committed to you for the long haul. And He wants to take care of you. It's His delight to. And if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, like we talked about, He is your shepherd. You belong to him. Right? There is no takebacks. The Lord isn't going to say, today you're kind of not that good. I don't really know that I want. There's none of that. Right? He's committed to you. And he loves you. That's the heart of the Lord Jesus.
So, I spent a lot of time just talking about one verse. Here's where it becomes a little bit personal. And where it becomes personal is, first, going back to last class. Do you want him as your Savior? Do you want that relationship? Do you want to belong to him? And if you did say, yes, Lord, I want to be yours, I'm yours, then you enter into this relationship where Jesus is your shepherd, and he's going to be for the rest of your life. And it's this incredible thing you can experience for real in your life. But what you need to do is you need to be willing, right? You need to say to our Lord, okay. When you go through your periods of fear, when you have your anxieties, when you have your worries, when somebody has hurt you, when there is a need in your life, turn to him. Turn to the shepherd and say, God, this is where I'm at. This is what's going on. Tell me. And try it out for yourself and discover whether or not Jesus is that good shepherd for you. Right up. Before we close, there's one more thing you guys will let me know. I want to talk about. Okay. And the one more thing that I want to talk about after I get a drink of water is the story up here in Luke. Where did we leave off? Crystal, did you already read a verse? Okay, Hagen, can you start? We'll do three and then we'll go back that way, okay?
So he told them this parable saying,
The reason that I wanted to talk about this is it's still a description of our Lord Jesus as the shepherd. But the reason I wanted to talk about it is because it's talking about a sheep that is lost, a sheep that is wandering. And my friends, like, we're going to be in different times in our lives that sheep that's wandering. I've been that sheep that's wandering. Sometimes I've wandered away from Jesus because I was just attracted to something in the world and I was distracted and I was like, okay, I want to kind of check this thing out even though the Lord is not there. Okay? Sometimes I wander and I get lost because I mess up. And if I mess up and I sin, and I wonder if you guys have experienced this too, when we mess up and we sin, something immediately happens in our hearts. There's a voice that says, you messed up. And you do not want to go back to where the Lord is. Don't go back there. Do you guys experience that? Not an audible voice, but that feeling that it's like, okay, I can't go back to Jesus because I messed up. I know I screwed up. Right? Let me tell you, that's normal. But that voice that you hear that says, don't go back to the Lord, hide from him, that voice, I'm going to tell you, 100% of the time, that voice, not Jesus. 100% of the time. Because who that voice belongs to is that voice belongs to the enemy. And the enemy is happy if he can cause you to spend 1 second apart from the Lord, where you're hiding from him and you're running away from him. If you just, 1 second, he's happy. And so when we mess up and we sin and we feel like you've got to hide from our Lord, that feeling is not our Lord Jesus. Okay? I want to go back to the verse that we had earlier when we started, right? Is it 1 John 1:9? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And guys, this works 100% of the time. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and you mess up and you have that feeling, oh, I gotta hide, you confess your wrong to the Lord. You say, Lord, I messed up, I sinned, I did this wrong thing. You confess that to him and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I did this thing. Immediately, the blood of Jesus covers you. Immediately. And you're right with the Lord again. And you can be in his presence again. And you can draw near him again. And you're back to being that sheep under the shepherd's care, because sin is not distancing you from him anymore. And sometimes you confess and it doesn't feel like you're forgiven. Doesn't matter. 100% of the time. You confess your sins to Jesus. You can turn back to him immediately. Your sins are forgiven. They're covered under the blood of the Lamb. 100% of the time. Don't live in that fear of saying, oh, I gotta hide from him. And how many of you guys have tried this one? Where it's like, you messed up on Monday, and you're like, okay, maybe if I wait until Thursday, then I turn back to the Lord, I'll feel a little bit better, I'll feel a little bit less ashamed. If I just let time separate between when I screwed up and when I go back to the Lord, then everybody feels different. Right? It's like, it doesn't have to be that way. Time does not forgive your sins. Right? Jesus' blood does. So when you confess, like, that's it. You confess your sins to him, and his blood covers you. Now, I want to tell you guys one more thing about this. And the reason I want to tell you this is how incredible our Lord Jesus is. When we go back to the last one, we're talking about this lost sheep. And sometimes in our lives, we mess up badly enough that we don't have the strength to turn back to our Lord. Now, we just said, 100% of the time, if you turn and you confess your sins, he forgives you, 100% of the time. But sometimes, you mess up so bad, it's not that the Lord doesn't forgive you, it's that you can't forgive yourself. And you end up being the sheep that hides from our Lord, and you're lost, and you're just like, I can't turn back, I messed up too bad, I can't go back to the Lord. It doesn't matter if he's forgiven, I just can't go back to him. And you don't have the strength to do that. And sometimes, maybe it's because the Lord sees his sheep is lost and doesn't have the strength to turn back. He's the good shepherd that goes and looks for his sheep. And let me tell you, I've experienced that. Because there's one time, I messed up a lot of times. But there's one time that I really remember messing up really bad. And actually, this was like years after I became Christian. It was years after I took my walk with the Lord seriously. Right? I really wanted to pursue him. But I really messed up bad. I sinned. And I hurt people. And I was just like, I did this terrible thing. And I can't get over it. And I was just lost. And I was just wandering away aimlessly. And it was like, I would still go to church and stuff, but it was like, I felt so far away from the Lord. I was like, I can't turn back. I just feel this heaviness or this sin that I was in my life. And what happened was, I experienced what it was like for the good shepherd to come and look for a lost sheep. Because what happened to me was a bunch of the people from church, my pals from church, they decided that we were going to go to a Christian concert, like a worship thing. And I went with them, and here I was still like stuck in my sin and feeling terrible and feeling so like a heaviness of the sin so deep in my heart. But the Lord met me there. And it was the Lord being that shepherd who was like, I looking for me, his lost sheep. And the way that he found me, and the way that he spoke to me, was one of the songs that we sang that night. There was a line that said, "You," the songwriter talking to the Lord, saying, "You see the depths of my heart, and you love me the same." And at that moment when we sang that together, it was like I knew the Lord was speaking to my heart and saying, "Sam, I see where you're at. I see how you messed up. I see the depths of the darkness in your heart and all of the gunk and all the terrible things. But guess what? I see it all, and I love you the same. Come back. And this is our shepherd. It says he, when he finds a sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So, this is our shepherd. You can be his sheep. You belong to him if you've accepted him. It's this great thing. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just desire for you to speak to our hearts and open up our eyes to experience all of these things, to see all of these things, and to know about your heart of your shepherd. We thank you that you are. Thank you that you love every single heart in this room so deeply and delight in being our shepherd. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name.